Well, may God in his grace look up into whatever tree you are hiding in, call your name, and invite you to come down, because he wants to stay with you. And he proves that in these words in Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." These are the words of our Lord. There was a fitness club that made the offer of $1,000 to anyone who could prove that he was stronger than the owner. And all they had to do was squeeze one drop out of a lemon after the owner had squeezed it dry. And people came from far and wide, weightlifters and construction workers and even professional wrestlers, but not a one of them could squeeze a single drop out of the lemon after the owner had squeezed it dry. Then one day, the short, skinny man comes in and says, I'll take up on that offer. And after the laughter had stopped, well, the owner went and he squeezed the lemon, handed that wrinkled, withered lemon to that skinny, short little man, and the man proceeded to squeeze six drops out of it. And the owner couldn't believe his eyes. So after paying the man $1,000, he couldn't help himself. He just had to know, what do you do for a living? Are you a weightlifter? Are you a lumberjack or what? And the man said, "I work for the IRS. Zacchaeus worked for the IRS of his day, the hated Romans. This story is set in the city of Jericho. Jericho is called the City of Palms. It was a rich, bustling city. It was at the crossroads of the major caravan route, and it was the perfect spot, the Romans thought, for a tax collection center. Tax collectors were government-sanctioned crooks. They were silk suit-lined thugs who, well, strong-armed all kinds of money out of the hands of merchants, their hard-earned money. You see, the Romans set taxes at a certain fee, and whatever the tax collectors collected over and above that fee, they got to keep. Now, Zacchaeus, we're told here, worked his way all the way up to the head of the Jericho Mafia. He was called here a chief tax collector. In other words, he got to skim off all of the other tax collectors. And as a result, he was a very wealthy man. After years of skimming off the top and extortion, Zacchaeus had it all. He had everything that money could buy, but it couldn't buy him respect, and it couldn't buy him friends. See, at the pinnacle of worldly success, Zacchaeus found himself a very lonely man. isolated from everyone else. He had everything, but his heart was bone dry and empty. Maybe it was this very realization that drew Zacchaeus to Jesus. See, Jesus was a man who, well, owned nothing in this world, and yet he possessed the love and the admiration of thousands. And Zacchaeus had heard through the tax collector grapevine that Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Maybe Jesus might even befriend me, Zacchaeus thought. Well, word spread like wildfire through the city of Jericho that Jesus was passing through, that Jesus had just healed a poor blind beggar, another man who was desperate for Jesus' love and mercy. And so partly out of desperation and partly out of a small glimmer of faith in his heart, Zacchaeus set out to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was a seeker. And there's a lot of people out there that we don't even realize are seekers. One of the most amazing statistics I have come across says that the vast majority of people out there who don't go to church would go to church if only they were invited by a friend. If only they were invited by someone. It's not that people are totally closed off to God. You see, God has set eternity in our hearts, and I think there is a hole inside every human heart, the size of which only God can fill, and after people try to fill it with everything else, and they realize that their heart is bone dry and empty, just like Zacchaeus. And so they are open, and they are hungry, and they're desperate for the love and mercy of God. And so Zacchaeus was a seeker. His problem was he was too short. Now, I was wondering, if this was set to a movie, the only person I can picture playing his part is Danny DeVito, right? I mean, perfect for it, right? He couldn't see. Like I told the kids, he couldn't break through the crowd. Nobody was going to let him elbow his way to the front because nobody liked him. And so he ran ahead. And he climbed that tree. Now, what a sight that must have been. You know, Zacchaeus in his fine clothes climbing a tree. You can almost hear the snickers of the people in the crowd as they whisper to one another, get a look at Zacchaeus? What's he doing? You know, but everyone grew silent when Jesus stopped the procession for the second time that day. The first time was when he had healed that man who cried out for his help, that blind man. This time, he saw Zacchaeus' heart crying out. And so looking up into that tree, he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. Now, this was the highest honor anyone had ever paid Zacchaeus. He wants to stay at my house. This is something I call God's seeking grace. God's seeking grace. God's seeking grace was there in the garden after Adam and Eve had sinned. They were hiding for fear of God. And so God came looking for them. And he cries out, where are you, Adam? Adam, where are you? It was God seeking grace that reached out to David after David had sinned by adultery and murder. God sent Nathan to point the finger of accusation at David and said, you are the man. And David's heart melted and he poured out his sin before God and heard Nathan say to him, the Lord has taken away your sin. That was God's seeking grace. It was God seeking grace that reached out to a runaway prophet named Jonah, found himself hiding in the belly of a whale. And there's story after story in the Bible of people who are turned their backs on God and are running away, and God's reaching out to them. Every one of them that turned their backs on God. Now, Zacchaeus, he grew up in the church. As a boy, he had attended synagogue school. He was confirmed, and then he drifted away, like so many people do, drawn aside by the pull of pleasure and the lure of wealth and everything else. All those other empty promises our world holds out. And he woke up here. He found himself far, far away from God. But it was God who made the first move each time to win these people back. It was his seeking grace. Now, was Zacchaeus seeking Jesus, or was Jesus seeking Zacchaeus? Where are you, Zacchaeus? Where are you? God calls out to the college student who's plotting a sin-saturated Saturday and spring break. Where are you? God calls out to the self-righteous, look at me, I'm better than others, Pharisee in the pew. Where are you? God calls out to the hundreds of confirmation students who have lost their first love. Where are you? God calls out to the men who've made fishing and hunting their new God and have no time for the Lord. Where are you? God calls out to you and to me in whatever condition our heart may be right now. Where are you? That's God seeking grace. That's because God's heart breaks when people die without him. That's why God sent his son into the world. Now Jesus, who spoke these words, knew he was on his way. He's making his last trip to Jerusalem, where he knew he was headed to a cross. Yes, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And he would prove that in a little over a week by hanging on a cross. God demonstrating his own love for us sinners by Christ dying for us. God's seeking grace. Well, Zacchaeus climbed down from that tree just about as fast as he could. And what was his response? He climbed down at once and welcomed him gladly. Welcomed Jesus gladly. Now, he didn't say, oh man, I can't have Jesus come to my house. It's a mess. Right? And that's what we think. I got to get my house clean. I got to get my house in order. He doesn't care about the house. He doesn't care about the condition. He wants to come in. He'll clean it up for you. He doesn't care about the condition of your heart right now. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care how badly you've messed things up. He wants to come in. He'll clean it up. He'll straighten it out. He'll make it right. You see, it didn't matter what other people thought about Zacchaeus. Oh, we knew what they were saying. About Jesus, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. That's what they thought of Zacchaeus. And it didn't matter what Zacchaeus had done in his past. Oh yeah, he was a cheat. He was a traitor. He worked for the Romans. All that mattered is that Jesus knows my name. He wants to stay at my house. He's offering me hope. He's offering me grace. He's offering me forgiveness. He's offering me a new life, a whole fresh start. What would you do differently? If you could do it all over, if you could do life over, what would you do differently? Do you live with regrets about choices you've made in the past? Well, my friends, God gave Zacchaeus a chance to start over, fresh, clean, free. And that's what he's offering to you and to me tonight. That is what God does when he offers us forgiveness, when he offers us grace, when he offers us Jesus. He is giving us a chance to do life over and to do it right. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. An incredible transformation took place. A miracle inside the heart of a man who had been stunted by greed. Now, out of his heart flowed rich generosity and concern for those less fortunate than himself. And, well, it was a desire to even repay back those that he had cheated and defrauded in the past. Here we witness an incredible miracle. See, just the chapter before, Jesus had said this. He says, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And his disciples wondered, who then can be saved? And Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." And so we witness the miracle of a man going through the eye of a needle in Zacchaeus. Wow. Now, his faith bubbled over. And he expresses it. He shows it. "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now, I want to tell you that there is a myth about faith. And the myth is this. Some people think that faith is a personal thing and that it's a private thing. Faith is never personal and it is never private. Faith is always felt and seen and known by others around you. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." And everybody in that house knew that Zacchaeus was a changed man. He was a new man because of Jesus. Jesus made all the difference. And they knew it. They saw it. His transformation was real. And his giving was real. You see, your faith is not personal. And it's not private. Your family knows, and your friends know. They see if faith is present or if it is missing in your heart and in your life. In the book of Galatians, it says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. See, tonight we're talking about responding to God's amazing grace. We see a man all on his own. Jesus didn't tell him what to do. Didn't tell him, "You got to jump through this hoop. You got to do this. You got to do that." No, none of it. This was prompted by love on Zacchaeus' part. It was a response of faith. Faith needs an outlet. Luther called faith a living and active thing. It's always doing. In the case of Abraham, in the book of James, it says, his faith and his actions were working together in his life. For example, after God gave Abraham an incredible victory over the five kings, and he had carted off all of this loot, he encountered a priest of God by the name of Melchizedek. And immediately, Abraham gave him a tenth of everything that he had captured and everything that he had owned. That was long before the law ever said, you got to give a tenth. He gave from his heart because of what God had done for him and the victory he had in his life. And I think at some point in time, in every one of our lives, we have to assess where we're at. And what has God done for me? How have I been blessed by him? What have I been given from him? Wow, how incredibly rich I truly am. And now what will I do? You see, serving or using the talents and skills that God has given me and you for good causes, to bless others, encouraging people and helping somebody when they need our help, lifting them up, and yes, even giving of our financial blessings and resources, those are ways, like Zacchaeus, that we can demonstrate the change that has taken place in our hearts. You see, no one will ever tell you to give or what to give. Not in this church, we won't. Your giving, that's between you and God. That is a personal thing. But your giving will show the gratitude that you have in your heart for the blessings that God has done for you, for the grace that you have received. You see it as an opportunity to carry on the mission and ministry that Christ has given his church, because Jesus is still seeking to save that which is lost. Faith doesn't balk or complain at opportunities to give, but it embraces those opportunities just because it realizes God, in his grace, has embraced us with his all-forgiving love. We know we've been embraced by God. My friends, God calls you by name because he knows you so personally. And he says, I want to stay in your house today. I want to be an invited guest in your home for the rest of your lives and on into eternity. How will we respond? Amen.